Let's thank Steve and the band for sharing with us. Can we do that? Amen. You might remember, some of you may not, a band called Big Tent Revival. Anybody ever heard that name? Anybody? He started that band, and he was the lead singer for that band for a long time. And so when he came to Bellevue, one of my members said, "I hear that we're getting the lead singer for Creedence Clearwater Revival." I said, "We're not. Don't worry about it. Don't. It's okay." Thank you for being here. George, that's what we always wanted to sound like, but we couldn't, all right? Yeah, George and I played in a Christian band up on this platform sometime, but we never sounded quite like that. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here. And Todd, thank you so much for allowing me to come. And Dr. Dub, love you, appreciate you. My wife and I love this school. We pray for this school. We believe in this school. We both graduated from this school. And all of our kids, our four children have graduated from this school. So it's like coming home to us. And I just appreciate you being here. And I know that we can have a really profitable time if we all just kind of focus. I hope that you will focus on what we're going to be talking about. Oh, you're fine, man. I'm okay. I'm a little to the left. I'd rather be a little to the right, but that's okay. All right, great. Okay, good deal. It's their right anyway. Okay, so that's good. We got just a little window, and I know that a lot of you have a lot going on. I know that when I was here, I would sometimes study while the guy was preaching up here. I understand that, okay? But if you can listen every other word at least and try to pay a little of attention, I want to talk with you just a little bit this week about prayer. I want to talk to you today, tomorrow, and then on Friday about prayer. And I believe that prayer is probably the most important part of the Christian life. I really believe that as your prayer life is, so is your Christian life. But prayer is a mystery, is it not? It's mystical, is it not? We're trying to talk to somebody that we can't see. Nobody's ever seen God. And the Bible says, though we have not seen him, we love him. And I love him. I want to tell you, I love the Lord. I know you love the Lord. But we've never seen him. And how do you talk to God? How do you pray? How do you listen to God? We read the Bible and we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. I heard a guy say, he said, if you want to hear God speak, read the Bible. If you want God to speak out loud, read the Bible out loud. That was a pretty good thought. But, you know, I do that, but I want to talk with God. I want to know God. I want to commune with God. How can I develop an intimate relationship with God? I believe your prayer life is the key. It's very interesting that the only thing that the disciples said this phrase to Jesus about, "Lord, teach us to," now think about it, they could have asked anything, "Lord, teach us to," and when they said that, they didn't say, now don't get mad at me, they didn't say, "Teach us to make disciples." We ought to make disciples. Jesus commanded to make disciples. But that's not what they said. They said, "Lord, teach us." They didn't say, "Lord, teach us to make disciples." They didn't say, "Lord, teach us to be scholars." Nothing wrong with being scholarly. Praise God. But they didn't say that. They didn't say, "Lord, teach us to build denominations. Lord, teach us to build buildings. Lord, teach us to minister to the least of these." They didn't say, "Lord, teach us to do that." There was one thing that was so impressive in Jesus' life that they said, "Lord, teach us to." Do you remember what it was? Luke 11:1, "Lord, teach us to pray." There was something about his prayer life. I mean, this guy, Jesus, the Son of God, would talk to God sometimes all night long. All night long. When's the last time you talked to anybody all night long? I mean, that you wanted to, okay? If somebody kept you awake, I'm sorry, but I'm just saying that you really wanted to talk to all night long. Jesus would often go to the wilderness and just spend time with God in prayer. The Bible says after a very busy day, I'm talking about casting out demons, healing people, he went out and departed to a lonely place. And while he was there, he was praying. What's that like? I mean, why does he do it? On the cross, he's praying. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And the verbiage there in the original language means he said it over and over again. He's praying on the cross. Of the seven statements, I believe three of them are prayers and two of them are him praying scripture, which I highly recommend. He prayed scripture when he said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 22, verse 1, I believe he prayed the whole thing because it's a beautiful picture of Messiah being crucified and the victory that comes out of it. He also prayed scripture when he said in at the very end, into thy hands I commit my spirit. That's Psalm 31, verse 5. So Jesus prayed, even on the cross. He prayed so fervently before he went to the cross. The Bible says in Luke 22, verse 44, that his sweat was like great drops of blood falling to the ground. That's intense, fervent prayer, is it not? That's white hot prayer. When's the last time you prayed so much so that you were sweating and your sweat was almost like blood? It was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When's the last time you prayed fervently like that? When's the last time I prayed fervently like that? I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to me. And then Jesus even prayed in his resurrected state. If you read Luke 24, he is there at the house with the guys at Emmaus, and he wouldn't even put a morsel of bread in his mouth, his resurrected mouth, before he would bless the food. And when he prayed, that's when they recognized him. Oh yeah, we remember the one. And did not our hearts burn within us as he opened to us the scripture? Do you know what Jesus is doing right now? He's praying. The Bible says in Hebrews 7:25, he always lives to make intercession for those who draw near to God through him. So if Jesus needed to pray, do you think maybe you and I need to pray? Now look, I'm not coming as any prayer expert. There's only one prayer expert, and that is Jesus Christ. But if I can help somebody, if I can help you just a little bit, move a little bit closer to Jesus in your prayer life, that's what I want to do this week. Now today, I'm going to talk to you about why should we pray. I mean, come on, why should we pray? Some people believe that the will of God is so determined that everything's going to happen is going to happen whether we pray or not. I don't believe that. I believe with all of my heart that there are some things God's going to do whether we pray or not. But I believe with all of my heart that there are some things God's going to do only if we pray. I believe that prayer doesn't just change us. I think prayer changes circumstances. And life is better when you pray. That's all I know, okay? I can just tell you, when I pray, when I'm praying, life's a lot better than when I don't pray. So let's talk a little bit about prayer. Turn to Psalm 116 if you have your Bibles, okay? Psalm 116, one of the most beautiful texts in all the Bible on prayer. It is a Hallel psalm. And it's, Hallel is the Hebrew word for praise. And that's where you get hallelujah, praise the Lord. And this particular Hallel song was sung after the Passover meal. Do you remember in Matthew 26, where the Bible talked about after they had the Lord's Supper, the first Lord's Supper after they had the Passover meal? The Bible says after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. That hymn that Jesus and his disciples sang that day included Psalm 116. And I just get excited when I think about just before he went to Gethsemane to pray, just before he went to the cross, Jesus sang Psalm 116. I don't know if you think that's cool. I think it's very cool. And let's look at it because it's one of the greatest psalms in all the Bible about prayer. Why should we pray? I'll give you five or six reasons. Number one, we should pray because our sovereign God is listening. Our sovereign God is listening. Look at verses 1 and 2. He says, I love the Lord. Why do you love the Lord? I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications. A beautiful affirmation of intimacy, adoration, commitment to the Lord. Why did the psalmist love the Lord? He said, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications. Supplications are prayer in high gear. He says in verse 2, because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I shall call upon him as long as I live. He hears my voice. He hears my supplications. He inclines his ear to me. Do you know what that means? It means he leans in to pay attention. That's the word picture there. He inclines his ear. Have you ever talked to somebody and you just felt like, they're not listening to me? I just asked you a question. Have you? Okay. That's no fun, is it? I'd been married about a month. We're in a car. We're going to Florida, my wife and I, been married 1 month. And we're on our way, 22 years old. I'm going to speak to a youth group down there. That's what they used to call them before they called them students. It changes every 30 years, all right? So we were going down, and somewhere around Troy, Alabama, my wife had been talking since Montgomery, Alabama. And she was just talking. And I was doing what every man does. Yeah, baby. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then she stops and she says, are you listening to me? How many of you guys have ever been asked that by your wife? Anybody? Is that not the most threatening word? I mean, and I'm not dumb, okay? I'm not the smartest guy, but I got a lot of degrees. I can just say, I should have come up with something better than this, okay? I said, oh, yeah. That was a lie. And then she wouldn't get off it. She was like a dog on point. She said, what was I talking about? And this is all I could come up with. Tell me this is not goofy. I said, well, you know what you were talking about. She said, well, I know what I was talking about. I want to know if you know what I'm talking about. All I can tell you is it was over 100 degrees in Alabama, but it was cold in that car all the way to Florida. You know why? I didn't listen to my wife. And sometimes the people we love the most don't listen to us. But God inclines his ear to you. He's listening. He's all in. When I talk to somebody, I like them to look me in the eye because I know they're not looking around for a better deal. You know what I mean? Look people in the eye. Pay attention to people when you're talking to them and then you're listening. And God Almighty will listen to you. You can't get the President of the United States on the phone. You can't get the Governor of Tennessee on the phone. You can't get some bigwig on the phone, but you can get God Almighty to listen to your prayers. Amen belongs right there. It's okay to say amen. Don't get to heaven and not know how to talk, okay? Amen, hallelujah, I take all of those. One time I was preaching in a country church, and nobody was saying amen, but I was preaching good. I tell you what, I was preaching good. And I went down. I really did. I went down all the way in front, and I looked back up at the pulpit, and I said, amen, like that, and I ran back up and started preaching because nobody else would. I said, I will. Enough of that. Think about it. God will listen to you. We could shut the whole thing down right now. That's why we ought to pray. Because a sovereign God, through Jesus Christ, will listen to little old me. Call out to him about my children, about my grandchildren, about my church, about my nation, about my thoughts, about anything that I want to bring to him in the name of Jesus. I want to tell you something. I'm 57 years old. I sat right where you are when I was a student here, and I want to give a glorious testimony to God. He is a very present help in time of need. You call on the Lord. Why do you call on the Lord? You call on the Lord because he's listening. Sovereign God's listening. Second thing, because we live in a dangerous world. That's why you ought to call on the Lord. It's getting weirder and weirder to live in this world. It is unbelievably different than it was when I was here, whatever it was, 30 some odd years ago. And he says in verse 3 and following, we live in a dangerous world. Look at verse 3. He said, the cords of death have encompassed me. The terrors of Sheol, that is the grave, have come upon me. I am found distress and sorrow. I don't know what the specifics were, but he said, the cords of death, they've wrapped around me. They're choking me. I'm afraid of the grave. I'm fearing intimate death. I am surrounding. I'm living in a state of distress and sorrow. He was having a really bad time in life. So what did he do? What do you do when you're down like that? Well, the psalmist prayed. Look at verse 4. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. Four times in this one text, in this one psalm, he says, call upon the name of the Lord. And when you see that word, call upon the name of the Lord, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's out of the book of Joel, and it's repeated twice by Paul. I just want to say this to you. When you call upon the name of the Lord is listening. He says, oh Lord, here's what he prayed. Oh Lord, I beseech you, I beg you, I plead with you, I cry out to you, save my life. And I want to tell you, when he prayed, God moved. Look at this. Verse 5, he said, gracious is the Lord, righteous. Yes, our God is compassionate. Amen belongs there. How many of you are glad God's compassionate? Anybody glad he's compassionate and gracious? Amen. The Lord preserves the simple. Just the guy that just believes God will answer prayer. You don't have to have a PhD. You don't have to have, all the degrees and everything to be able to pray. The ground is level at the cross, and the ground is level at the prayer closet. Anybody that is born again, anybody whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, can come before God and simply cry out in faith, and God is listening. God is listening. He preserves the simple. I was brought low, but he saved me. And then he says in verse 7, he starts talking to himself, to his soul. He says, return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with me. The psalmist did this a lot of times. He said in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. In other words, get with the program, soul. Bless the Lord. All that is within thee. Bless his holy name. Sometimes you need to talk to yourself. Sometimes you need to say, you know what? I'm not here for me. I'm here for him. What does it matter what anybody else thinks? I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to obey the Lord. I'm going to live for the Lord. I'm going to talk to the Lord. Return to your rest, O my soul. Take it easy, soul. For the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. Verse 8, you have rescued my soul. Then he starts talking to God again. You've rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. And then he makes a faith declaration. He said, I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. He was through with the cords of death. That was done with. He said, God has saved my life. God's given me a new lease on life, if you will, and I'm excited about it. And then he says, here's what I did when I got in trouble. He looks back, he said, I believed. When I said I was greatly afflicted, I believed, I trusted God. He didn't just admit that he had a problem, he trusted God, he believed, and he prayed in faith to the Lord, and because he knew that he lived in a dangerous world. There's a prayer that I have prayed for my kiddos, and I pray it regularly now for my grandbabies and still my children. My son's here today. He's a pastor here in town. And I pray this for them and for my family, and I pray for this school as well. Two verses, two texts. Psalm 91, verses 10 and 11. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent or your dwelling. He will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. I pray that for my kids. I believe in angelic protection. I believe that God protects us with angels. I believe that with all my heart. I believe in the spirit world. I believe that there is a world that we can't see that is really what happens in that world affects this world. And I think when we pray that we enter into what happens into that world. I don't understand how all of it works. I do understand that when I pray, God starts moving angels, and I need all the angelic help I can get. Listen to me. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. Unless the Lord watches over you, you don't have any protection. There's another verse that I've prayed for years for my family and for me, for my churches. Isaiah 54, verse 17, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that accuses you in judgment, God will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and our vindication is from you, saith the Lord. I just asked God, right before I came up here, Lord, put on me the whole armor of God. Gird my loins with truth. Shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, according to Ephesians 6. Put on me the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and to pray at all times, and the helmet of salvation, and to pray at all times with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. I pray that all the time. You say, why? Because we are in a war. We are in a battle. We are not, the church is not a cruise ship. It is a battleship. And listen to me, you need to get in the battle. You need to start praying. And where you start praying, where you start the battle, where you start winning the victory is in prayer. And I want to encourage you. We are, guys, living in a dangerous world. You need to pray. Thirdly, because we should pray because God has supplied our every need. Very quickly, he said in verses 11 through 14, he said, I said in my alarm, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? I shall lift up the cup of salvation. I shall call upon the name of the Lord. I'm just going to thank God for how good he's been to me. The Bible says, Devote yourselves to prayer, Colossians 4:2, and keep alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. When you don't know how to pray, just start thanking God for what He's done for you recently. He's given you food to eat, clothes to wear, shelter, a family, the family of God. He's given you so much. And most of all, if you're saved, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You've got so much to thank God. He has supplied every need you have. He said in verse 14, I shall pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all His people. Years ago, I heard a guy named Manuel Scott preach. What a great man of God. He grew up in a poor family in Waco, Texas. And one day when he was a young boy, he was downtown. I heard him say this in a sermon one time. He said he was walking along. He came by a bakery and he saw some little bags back then. They take all the crumbles. They wouldn't throw the cookies away, the little crumbles. They put them in a bag and they sold them for a penny. He said, I didn't have a penny. He said, I started walking up down that street and said, God, I'm asking you in the name of Jesus. He said, I just gotten saved. I was 11 years old. He said, give me a penny. And you know, he didn't wait for somebody to mail him the penny. He started looking for the penny. I like that. When you pray, go looking for the answer, all right? Because God even answers prayers for little 11-year-old boys in Waco, Texas. And you know what he found? He found a penny. And he went back, he bought those cookies, and he said, all the way home, I was eating cookies and saying, I found a penny, I found a penny, I found a penny. And he said, for the rest of my life, I had no problems trusting God. And he was the pastor of some of the largest churches in Baptist churches in Los Angeles and in Dallas, Texas, was there when I was in seminary. Great man of God. He said, we'd have a multi-million-dollar budget. I said, you know what? My God gave me a penny. My God will give us whatever we need. He said, I never had a problem trusting God again. I want to ask you, when's the last time you really thanked God for supplying your needs? When's the last time you thanked the Lord that He is Jehovah Jireh? And the main thing He has provided is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive all your sins and the righteousness of Jesus Christ to robe you so that when you stand before God, you're not in your sinfulness, but you're in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You are the righteousness of Jesus Christ in Him. When's the last time you thanked God? That's what we do when we pray. We thank the Lord and we spend time worshiping in Jesus said in Matthew 7:7-8, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, to him who knocks it will be opened. You ought to just praise God for the benefits He has given you, that He's supplied and will continue to supply your need. Another reason we should pray, number four, is because God will take us one day home at death. Right in the middle of this text is one of the most beautiful phrases about dying as a believer. Verse 15, precious. It's so good. Can we put that on the screen very quickly? I don't know if we can or not. Okay, yeah, there it is. Let's read this together. Can we read it? Everybody out loud. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His godly ones. Only Christians can say that. Only people who believe in Jesus can say that. He said, we should pray because one of these days, God's going to take us home today. It sounds a lot like 2 Corinthians 5:8. One of these days, we're going to be absent from this body and present with the Lord. All in the world death is when your soul and spirit leave your body and go to be with the Lord. And we ought to praise God that when we die, we go to be with Jesus. He takes us home at death. About 2 or 3 years ago, I got a call from one of our members, and he was in a hospital about to die of cancer. He said, Pastor, would you come see me? I said, man, I'll be there within an hour. Can't always do that quickly, but I could that day, and I did it. Showed up. He was just so emaciated. He looked at me and said, Preacher, he said, you know, I know that I'm saved, but I'm afraid of dying. I'm going to tell you exactly what he said. He said, I'm afraid of dying because I've never done it. He said, I don't know what's going to happen. And I'd never had this thought in my life, really, to connect the two. I said, Frank, when I was a little boy growing up in Dyersburg, Tennessee, my daddy was a big railroader. And I was afraid of the dark. And we'd come home at night, a lot of times after church. Back then, you didn't lock your doors. Nobody locked the door. But I was afraid to go in because the house was dark. And so my big old dad would go in there and he'd push the door open. He'd turn on the light. He'd look around and said, "Steve, you can come in now. It's all right." And I'd go in because my dad had paved the way. I said, "Frank, do you know what Jesus did for you? He didn't just die for your sins. He went into that grave. He turned the light on. He said, it's okay. Death has lost its sting. I have removed it. And Frank, you don't have to worry about it. I don't know what's going to happen to you exactly when you die, but I know this. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones." And I think, Frank, your death is going to be like a hallelujah homecoming. That's all it's going to be. Somehow, you're just going to step over into the realm of eternal life, and you're going to see Jesus. And that guy, I mean, all of his teeth were gone from chemo and everything and radiation. And he smiled the biggest smile. He said, "Preacher, I think I'm ready to die." You know what? You're not ready to live until you're ready to die. I want to ask you, are you thankful today that if you were to die, God forbid, but if you were to die today, aren't you glad that you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord? He's going to take you home at death. And then there's a fifth reason you ought to pray, and that is because God has set you free from sin. God has set you free from sin. I tell you, when I think about some of the things the Lord set me free from, even since I've been saved, it's not hard to say hallelujah. Verse 16, look at this. "Oh Lord, surely I'm your servant. I'm your servant, son of your handmaid. You have loosed my bonds. You've set me free. I don't have chains on me anymore." Verse 17, "To you I shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord." We got a lot of young staff members at Bellevue. They're constantly trying to show me this, show me that. And one of them said, "Hey, preacher, have you seen the whale that got excited about being set free?" I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, I want to show you this YouTube thing." And sent me a YouTube clip of a humpback whale in the Sea of Cortez. Go to YouTube sometime and look this thing. It is the most incredible thing you'll ever see. This humpback whale is caught in this fishing net in the Sea of Cortez. And so these divers are out there, and they got their pocket knives, they got everything, and they're cutting that nylon rope as hard as they can. Just getting it, and that thing's just thrashing. And all of a sudden, it realizes, apparently, hey, these people are trying to help me. And the whale's about to drown. And they're cutting it. And finally, that whale gets free. And for almost 30 minutes, she puts on a show for these people. It looks like just ingratitude. "Thank you." And break you. Boom, bam. I mean, it looks like that insurance commercial, okay? I mean, it was unbelievable. Just whoop, boom, like that. And they're all just, yay, whoop, boom. I can't believe it. If a whale can get excited and know how to thank the people that set them free, do you think maybe we could thank God for setting us free? Are you glad that you're not free? Or that you're not in bondage anymore? Are you glad that you're free? I got messed that up, didn't I? Yeah. You try to come up here and do it. Okay. Sir, are you glad that you're free in Christ? Are you glad that you're not the person you used to be? If any person is in Christ, they're a new creation. Old things, praise God. Old things have passed away. I want to thank God that old things are passed away. We can forget what lies behind, reach forward to what lies ahead, and press on. Why? Because we're free in Christ. Jesus Christ has liberated us. That's why we ought to pray. I can hear my wife right now. Talk conversationally, Steve. I tell you, I'm more like the humpback whale right now. I'm breaching, baby, amen? Because I've been set free. I've been set free. It'll make you cry. Even if you're a big person, it'll make you cry. It'll make you cry with tears of joy that you've been set free from stuff that was in your family all these years. One more reason. We should pray because God has united us with his family. He said in verse 18, "I shall pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord." He was saying, I just thank you, Lord, that I'm praising you in the midst of the family of God. Thank God for the family of God. Let us consider how to stimulate one another, the writer of Hebrews says, to love and to good works, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but rather encouraging one another, putting courage back in one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You say, I don't need anybody. Hey, even the Lone Ranger needed Tonto. Everybody needs somebody. Two are better than one. My wife and I say that a lot of times. At night, I'll say, you know, two are better than one, says that Ecclesiastes. Two are better than one until she puts her cold feet on me. And that's a little hard, but it's okay. Still, even with that, two are better than one. Because when you fall, you'll have somebody to pick you back up. We need the body of Christ. I just want to thank God for the body of Christ. I thank God for Union University. So why should we pray? There's six good reasons. Six good reasons right there. I wonder what it was like for that psalmist. I wonder what it was like for the guy that penned that by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Maybe he sang it. I love the Lord. He heard my cry and pitied every groan. Long as I live, though troubles rise, I'll hasten to His throne. I love the Lord. You heard my cry. You pitied every groan. Jesus, long as I live, although troubles they may rise, I will hasten to your throne. I'll hasten to your throne. I'll hasten to your throne. I'll hasten to your throne. Lord, I'll hasten to your throne because I love the Lord. I love Him because He heard my cry. I tell you, He has pitied every groan. So long as I live, though troubles they will rise, I will hasten to your precious, gracious throne. Let's praise Him. Praise Him, Lord. Father God, teach us to pray. Let's all say that together. Teach us to pray. Let's all say it together. Teach us to pray. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here today.